The demon does have certain abilities to tempt us in extraordinary ways because of the sin of Adam. Always the answer is going to be Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share with you things that I've suffered personally because it's the only way that I know to talk about it. So on October 7th, 1 year from today, I'm about to teach you a lesson that it took me a year to figure out. On October 7th last year, I all of a sudden experienced a sharp pain in my soul. It felt as if I was being stabbed. It was spiritual. I felt my soul was being pierced, but it hurt so bad that I felt it physically. And I didn't know what to do, and I knew it wasn't normal. So I reached out to several exorcists, three of them. I asked the first one, and he said, "Never heard anything like that before. Ignore it." And I was like, "I can't freaking ignore it, dude. It hurts." And then I reached out to the other exorcist, and he said, "It's probably something physical. You should probably get your heart checked." It's like, Then I reached out to the third. Thanks be to God, I'll even say his name. He's not a full-time exorcist, but he's done exorcisms before. Father Ambrose, the Norbertines. I love him. I love him. I love him. And he said very powerful words that helped me, and it will help you. He says, "Gabe, the spiritual life is very difficult and very painful. Clearly, Our Lady is allowing this." He said clearly because it was the Feast of the Holy Rosary. So I also noticed the coincidence. He said, "Clearly, Our Lady is allowing this. Therefore, suffer well. Suffer like a man." And I said, "Yes, Father." And he liberated me from something. Because when we go around saying, "The devil's doing this, the devil's attacking me," stop that. The devil's not doing a darn thing that God hasn't allowed him to do. Mary's allowing this. That's what liberated me. That's what gave me breath. Mary's allowing this. She's allowing this for my good. What do you want to teach me, Mother? What do you want to teach me? Teach me something that I can teach others. It was liberating to think it wasn't the devil. He's Mary's monkey. And then it was very providential because the stabbing stopped on October 13th. So it started on October 7th, the Feast of the Holy Rosary, and it ended on October 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the Miracle of the Sun. So I was like, clearly there's a connection. And then I began to suffer other things spiritually. Like I would go places, like I'd go and give conferences, and all of a sudden I'd be stuck with crippling anxiety. I would say, "I can't give it, I can't speak, I just can't speak, I'm so nervous." And then my friends and family, my mom especially, my mom's my prayer warrior, I text her, I say, "Mom, I can't do this, something is wrong with me, you need to pray for me." And she would say, "You speak all the time, you're always giving talks, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Just pray for me, please just pray for me." This is ordinary Christian battle, baby. Souls aren't cheap. When you're doing God's will, you're gonna get attacked. Fight back. So this was a spiritual attack that I didn't deserve. I did nothing wrong. But then something strange happened. Now I'm gonna share with you personal, okay? So don't judge me. So recently, as you know, my son is growing up and he's a beautiful young man. Oh, I love him. I really love him and I really like him. One of my wounds, we're going to talk a little bit about wounds in a moment. One of my wounds growing up was not having a father. And so even when I was in high school, I was dating this girl. I shouldn't have been dating in high school. It's a very bad idea. I was dating this girl, living a sinful life. And she asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I had no idea. Like, I was like, "I have no idea. Like an engineer, maybe." And then I said, "No, you know what? A good father. I would really love to be a good father." And then later on, because of my sin, my mom said a very powerful thing to me. I didn't like it at the time, but she said, "You're turning out just like your father." Oof. It was the best thing she could have said, but I couldn't do anything about it. We see this in people who are, let's say, for example, I'm going to just use Steve Jobs as an example, because very famously, he was adopted and he had a double childhood parent wound. So he was given up for adoption. The family that received him then gave him up for adoption because they wanted a girl. So it was like stab, stab again. Two families didn't love you. And then you know what Steve Jobs did? Got a woman pregnant and didn't claim that child as his daughter. So he was perpetuating the sin that he experienced. And that was happening to me. I always wanted to be a good dad. But because the devil had me by the throat, I was doing things that was going to make me a bad dad. That was going to make me just like my father. And so I love my son and I'm so proud of him. And I even told him, I was like, dude, you're so much better than me. Like you're such, and I mean it, like he's a great kid. Like he's, like I would say he's great, but he don't pray enough. He's great, but he's not trying. No, he's good. I love this kid. And as you know, you've seen him. He's not a boy anymore. He's not a boy. He's an adult. And that made me sad. And I started to tear up a little bit. And then my soul felt that piercing again. Oof. And I recognized this piercing as being the same exact feeling I had from October the 7th through October the 13th. And I said, oof, there's something deeper here. And then I spiraled out of control. And I thought, my son's going to leave me. I'm going to be all alone. Everything I fought for is going to be gone. Like I fought every day for him. I'm going to be so alone. And my mom, she's getting old. She's 72. I'm sorry, mom. I love you. You're young. You look beautiful and young. But my mom's getting old and she's going to die. And I'm going to be all alone. And there's nothing left in life. So I was spiraling out of control. And I recognized that this wound I have, this panic attack I'm having about being all left alone, this is a familiar feeling that I had before. This is a familiar feeling. I felt this before. Because I'm now spiritually aware, I remember this demon. I remember this demon. I'm wounded. And demons hide in our wounds. And he attacks good and holy people who are striving to be good. And there's for some reason, something happens to you and it hurts you more than it should. A little rejection hurts you like somebody told you you're the worst person who's ever lived because of something that happened to you as a kid. And so I had a father wound that I thought I dealt with, but one wound, when you don't forgive and you don't get healing, it's like you have a barnacle at the bottom of the ship and it's going through the ocean and it's collecting other wounds and it's really messing you up. And so not having a father was the wound that I could see, but then I prayed and I went back and I was like, wait a second, why do I feel like this? People who leave home, they don't lose contact with their children. I've got three other children. I don't remember how many kids I got. I've got three other kids. And I love them all. I can't remember all their names sometimes, but it's good. I love them still. And then I remembered when my grandmother died. When my grandmother died, she was somebody I deeply loved and I had no religion. And I was thinking, well, where did she go? Like, is that all there is to life? If my mom dies, I'm going to be all alone. And my mom would have to leave me places. We had babysitters, but often I'd be left all alone. And if the same thing happened to my mom, I'm going to be all alone. And so I recognized I've got a lot of issues and Mary has allowed the demon to point them out to me. And I am here to help you to heal them. Because I was struggling, wounded. Mary coordinated my wounds, even lined them up with feast days. I love you, mother. You're a good lady. I love you. You're the wonderfulest woman. So I'm going to teach you the rosary of healing. There are steps for healing because I was always wondering, I feel like I'm wounded, and they say that by Jesus's wounds we are healed, by his stripes we are healed, but I'm not healed and I'm hanging out with this dude getting scourged at the pillar all day long. So it's keeping me from any obsessions. I'm doing God's holy will. I hear his voice, but I'm suffering. I'm suffering deeply. So I'm going to teach you how to pray the rosary for healing. I'm going to tell you what to do. We're going to practice it just once as a family, because you're all my family. We'll practice it just once. This is life changing. This is soul changing. How do I know that there's something wrong with me? How do I know that I need healing? Let me just review the signs for you. If something causes you a disordered amount of pain, if you respond in a disproportionate way, or if you notice psychological habits in yourself, that you just don't know why you're doing it, you don't want to do it, but you keep doing it. So for example, maybe as a young person, your father left you and then you had a terrible boyfriend, etc. And so in your mind, you just don't trust men. It's not that when you think about it, there's an agony, but you just notice this habit, I constantly don't trust men. Like it's a psychological thing and I can't fix it. So that's an example of a psychological coping mechanism. So this is what you do. When you notice you have that wound or you notice that familiar demon, and I call this the healing rosary and I recommend it beyond all belief. There are steps to healing. There's programs for healing. If you have experienced extraordinary trauma, you should get help, official help. But this way is going to be a way that happens quickly and easily. This happened for me. So I'm going to make up a scenario. I'm going to float back. So this pain of being abandoned, being left alone, I float back in my memory to the earliest time that I experienced that pain. My dad walked out. Then I replay that scene as he's walking out the door, visually replaying it. And then I pause and I go and get that little boy, that little Gabi, and I say, hey, little dude, your dad shouldn't have left you. It's not your fault. You're loved by God. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs healing too. Come over here. Let me show you something. Let me show you somebody. And then I take him to Jesus' scourging at the pillar. And I say, you see this? Jesus did this for you. He loves you. You're going to be okay. You're going to turn out great. You tell that little kid what they needed to hear. You tell yourself what nobody told you. I love you. You're not alone. You'll never be alone. You're always with me. And then you take it to the foot of the cross or to the scourging at the pillar or to the agony in the garden and you pray there. So for me, I've done this. So my father never left me. I was conceived in sin. And so my wound goes even deeper because I was never meant to be here. That's kind of like what I thought, that God can't do anything with me. And so I visualized myself. I went back in time to when I was first conceived in the womb. And even though you can't talk to a fetus, two cells, and I'm like, hey, little guy, you got no ears, but you're going to listen up. So you see tears coming out of my eyes because I'm still not fully healed. And I went back and I said, you're loved by God. You're not an accident. God brings good out of even the worst circumstances. Surrender your life totally to God and you'll have meaning and purpose beyond all understanding. So you go back and you tell that little you what you needed to hear. And then you introduce that little you to Jesus in one of the mysteries and you just be still and allow Jesus to do whatever he wants. So I took little Gabi to the scourging at the pillar. I tell Jesus, can you help little me? And we just watch him get beaten. And then see what Jesus says or does. And healing has begun. And so one of the things that I told people whenever I was going through those several days of agony was that I would have these waves of peace in my heart. Like it would feel like I was stabbed and then like a cool breeze would go over my stabbing. And I noticed when I did this healing exercise, it's called mental prayer. I've been trying to get you guys to do it for over a year. When I did this exercise, I noticed that cool breeze over my heart. I noticed that. And that's healing. And so how do you know if you need more healing? If you can think back on the memory and there's no pain. So you can be upset that it happened. You can be angry at the circumstance. You can say, this was wrong and this is horrible. And I'm kind of like angered because of the injustice, but it doesn't hurt me anymore. So I can talk about not having a father and it doesn't hurt, but I have other wounds. How many mysteries do I do this for? It depends. So if it's a small wound, you know, it only needs a decade. But if there's something that has been impacting you your entire life, you might need to go through every mystery from a different angle. I always start with the little child because that's the most important. That little child believed a lie and I'm going to speak truth into that lie. But then there's a lot more that has to happen. You might have to take your mother and your father and take them with you to the crucifixion. We're going to get to forgiveness in a second. You cannot be healed unless you forgive. You cannot be healed unless you forgive. Think of the parables in the gospel. The king was owed a great debt by one of his servants. He forgave that servant. But then that servant went and claimed the debt from somebody under him. And that king said, I forgave you your debt. It's gone. And you just denied this person that same mercy. Go to the prison. Lock this person up. Lock this person up. No mercy for you. You will not receive God's mercy until you give God's mercy. And that's hard. And we'll talk about how to forgive in a second. So if you'll please join me in prayer, if you'll please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We will do the scourging at the pillar, because I already mentioned it. The second sorrowful mystery is the scourging at the pillar. We're not going to pray the whole 10 Hail Marys. We're just going to do three. The Virgin Mary is present with us. The Virgin Mary is in this room. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a member of the body of Christ. Your guardian angel is with you. All of our guardian angels are with you. Your parish community is with you. The Mother of God is with you. go to some hurt, some terrible experience that is still binding you right now. Something that you don't even want to think about. You've stuffed it away. The Virgin Mary is behind you with her hand on your shoulder. Visualize that scene and then freeze it. And talk to little you and tell little you what you needed to hear then. And then take little you to the scourging at the pillar. For your mental imagination, recall what you've seen in the movie The Passion of the Christ. And take little you there, and I'll give you about 30 seconds. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You may take a seat. It's very difficult to pray well in a room of a lot of other people, but I hope you can see the benefit of exposing your wounds to his wounds. Some people say it's not healthy to look back. It's actually what we do every time we pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary. You're like spending time in the piercings of the heart of the Mother of God. And by spending time with her, we are slowly healed. Your meditation can change a little bit. When you do your fifth sorrowful mystery, for me, if there's a party or another person that hurt me, I visualize them standing at the cross and the act of their hurting me, and then Jesus being pierced with the lance, blood and water spilling all over them, and then they just see clearly. They say, oh my gosh, what have I done? And they begin to cry and cry and cry. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. Just a brief word on forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not the other person saying that they're sorry. Forgiveness is not you feeling better about it. Forgiveness is not saying that what you did, fine, it's not that bad after all. That's not what forgiveness is. To forgive means the debt is paid. You don't owe me anything. You don't owe me an apology. I forgive you. I let it go. But it's not fair. They don't understand what they've done to me. I know. I get it. I've been there. But Jesus forgave me. And I didn't deserve that. So I just have to get to the place where I don't want harm for them. I'm letting go of what I feel like they should say to me. Like, I'm not going to forgive until they get on their knees and apologize to me. No, forgiveness means they don't owe you an apology. You deserve one. That's called reconciliation. But in order for you to have peace, you've got to let go. You've got to forgive. And then there's just one little step. Ask God to bless them. And that doesn't mean make their life easy. Bless them with the grace to know right from wrong. Bless them with the grace of repentance. Bless them with the grace to save their souls. You all know we have a great love for St. Maria Goretti here. Alessandro stabbed her 14 times. And before she died, she didn't ask for an apology. She said, "Tell Alessandro Serinelli, I forgive him and I want him to be with me in heaven." That's all it means.